folks, I'm in my studio here in Nashville talking with my friend Jim Clouk. Jim is the founder of a company called CheckaPro.com. Jim, this is an interesting business. I love the model. Tell me, what's CheckaPro all about?
CheckaPro is all about the homeowner being able to find a company they trust, Dave. We've pre-qualified them. We check their references, we check their licenses, and we interview each and every one of them.
Well, as a homeowner, that makes me feel a whole lot more comfortable when I know they've been through your process before I go online and call them. I'm not just calling some guy, and I have no idea what I'm going to get when he gets there. He's been through the CheckaPro challenge, the CheckaPro stringent checking. How long have you guys been doing this?
Since 2005, Dave.
Wow. Here's the deal, folks. If you want to find pre-qualified contractors and service providers to help you out with your needs in your home anywhere in the Houston area, go to CheckaPro.com.
My name is Jennifer. I'm 44, and I lost weight with the Amberin program.
My name is Kim. I'm 47, and I lost weight with the Amberin program.
I'm Jane. I'm 52, and I lost a ton of weight with the Amberin program. Even my belly fat is gone, and it was so easy.
Thousands of women over 40 who used to struggle with weight gain are having incredible success with the Amberin program. That's because Amberin focuses on hormonal balance. The leading cause of weight gain in women over 40, especially during menopause, is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, losing weight can be practically impossible. But the Amberin program balances your hormones naturally, making losing weight surprisingly easy. Plus, Amberin eliminates other symptoms of unbalanced hormones, like hot flashes, irritability, and sleeplessness. Call in the next 15 minutes to receive a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply free. Call 1-800-890-5212. That's 1-800-890-5212. 1-800-890-5212.
From KSEV, the voice of Texas. This is Guns Over Texas. Jeff Sanford and Gary Montgomery are the gun nuts. They believe in America. They fight for your Second Amendment rights. They teach safety, advanced shooting skills, and responsible gun ownership. They just love guns. Guns Over Texas starts now.
Hello, Houston, and welcome back to Guns Over Texas. Brought to you by AM 700 KSEV and Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range, your 2012 concealed handgun license headquarters. Jeff, Gary, and Jason here as usual today. If you have any questions, comments, get involved with the show. You can give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. And as usual, our webman Gary is already on Guns Over Texas Radio on Facebook. If you can't get to a phone or you just don't want to give us a call, you can get us on Facebook, and we will talk about your topic on the air. Gary, Jason, welcome back to Guns Over Texas. Before we get started, I think we need to let everybody know that our ducks, Samuel Colt, John Moses, and Gaston Glock,
well, they got renamed because it was Huey, Dewey, and Louie when we left here.
I like the new names better.
Okay,
though.
They were rehomed at the Wildlife Resource Center. So thank you to all the callers. God, man, as soon as we started talking about these ducks, you know, that we didn't know what to do with them, the phone
fluffy
calls,
things get all kinds of calls. Mm-hmm.
So next time we're short on callers and short on topics, we're just going to talk about something that we found outside, some kind of animal that
The whole thing is that they were little fluffy ducks. So all we had need to do is go find some other fluffy animal, and we'll get lots of calls for it.
And unfortunately, karma came back and bit me hard in a bad way last week. It bit me hard.
It did. You were making fun of us for the ducks.
I was making fun of Jeff for so long and so hard about the ducks.
Let's reset this because I kept saying there's no way the ducks are going home with me.
And I kept saying you're going to have pet ducks at the house and we're going to see a pond in your backyard.
And, of course, the ducks did go home with me.
And they did. And they were at your house.
I took them to the Wildlife Resource Center. Mm-hmm. And did my mom and my wife, did they make any effort to go to the Wildlife Resource Center?
No. Because they wanted to keep them secretly. And Jen wanted to get rid of them.
Yeah, I had people that were asking to keep those ducks, dude.
So, Jason, you made fun of me mercilessly.
I was merciless, and I was merciless with you on Facebook and on a few text messages as well. And so the gods were listening, and they came back and got me hardcore because on Monday night around 10 o'clock at night, we heard a huge commotion out in the driveway, and my wife comes running downstairs and says, "Our cats are in a fight outside." And I was like, No, they're not, because one's sitting here on the sofa and the other one's over on the table. Our cats aren't fighting. Well, don't you hear that? And I'm like, yeah, but it's not it's not our cat. But I got suckered into going out there to see what was up, and there was a possum in the driveway with a kitten in its mouth. And it was shaking the kitten left and right and bouncing it off the ground, trying to eat the kitten. And I foolishly stepped in and intervened in the circle of life and nature taking its course.
And moments later, what do I see posted on Facebook? I see a picture of Jason with his new kitty cat.
With a bloodied and broken kitten that was going to die in my driveway if I didn't try to bring it in and patch it up. And unfortunately, now I'm...
Aww.
Several $100 in the hole, a friend of the show, Dr. Sartor.
So, Jason, he posted pictures of himself on Facebook with his new kitty and the kitty with the cast on
his arm.
He hasn't
shared those guns over Texas yet.
No, they're not going to.
We need to do that.
No.
And, yes. I found it real amusing, and it gives us a little bit of insight into Jason, because, you know, I have a feeling that if his wife were to die first, Jason would become the crazy cat guy. You know, the guy with, like, 100 cats, you know.
I already had more cats than I wanted. That. And like I keep telling
him. Oh, yeah. He's saying, more than I wanted. He's posting pictures of himself posing with this kitty and all these
and
different poses.
And he's always posting pictures of his other cats.
No, so that's not me.
Oh, that's not you?
That's Mrs. Berry.
Posting pictures of your cat?
On your Facebook page?
On your Facebook page?
She tags me in them, and I say yes to tag me.
It's getting deep in here.
There's a difference between wanting another cat and wanting to see the cat dead in your driveway. I did not want another cat. I just didn't want to see it dead in my driveway.
You would have to declare the death of the cat on your driveway and you're, you know, so we're selling your house or something.
Oh, God. We could have fed the ducks to the cat and then fed the cat to your dogs and solved all problems at once.
Oh, my dogs like cats. So, anyway... You're a nice guy, Jason. Underneath that rough exterior.
Yeah, he's not
really
the door-kicking
nice,
policeman
guy.
That he acts like he wants to be.
I have a soft spot.
So to let all of our listeners know, the ducks are safe. And cool thing about the Wildlife Resource Center is they give you a code, and we get to look up in a week or so and see what's happened to the ducks. I don't remember what kind of ducks they were, but apparently they get a lot of these ducks because they tend to hang out in highways and freeway areas.
Yeah, we actually...
Well there's three of them still hanging out on the access road.
So
I was going to skip that, but you went there.
My heart was feeling all soft and
tender.
You stopped
to take a picture of the spot, dude.
How do you get a duck under a door without opening it? Just slide it under. You know?
So we'll keep you updated on what happens to the ducks later. And once again, thanks to all our listeners who called with either offers to rehome the ducks or letting us know what to do with them. So I tell you what, let's head right out to the phone lines. We've got Kevin in Kingwood. Kevin, welcome to Guns Over Texas.
Thank you. Never heard your show before until just today.
Well, we will try to forgive you for that.
Well, and I'm not sure I want to start listening if I'm going to talk about ducks all day long. But that's
all right, Kevin, what you got for us, man?
I went to a pool party in San Antonio this weekend, and one of the officers that was there is in the military gun program, and he says his kids are really big involved and really enjoying a 4-H program that's trap and skeet. You guys know anything? Does Humble ISD or HISD have anything like that?
HISD, I don't know if they, well, 4-H isn't necessarily tied to a school district, but there's a guy here in town who's heavily involved in 4-H competition and trap and skeet. His name is Tom Estep, E-S-T-E-P, and if you look up, I believe it's Tom Estep Shooting. Or even just look up the Texas CHL forum. He's on there all the time. But he's heavily involved in that program, would probably be the best person to talk to about it.
Because I got a 12-year-old, and his uncle is a master gunsmith. So he's really involved and loves everything about guns. We've just started to get him into something that might be – so he can actually get a scholarship for this if he gets good at it.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Well, great.
Yeah, Tom Estep, just E-S-T-E-P – shooting.com. Tom Estep, shooting.com. And I'll post a link to it on our Facebook page.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you for calling, Kevin. Well, gentlemen, what's new in your gun world?
Well, we were mentioning before the show, I spent the morning at the gun show, as I want to do on weekends when I've got nothing else going on. And it was
Did the boy go with you?
No, nah, the boy hadn't been feeling good still, so boy's okay. still tapping out for that. And somebody had to stay home and take care of the stupid cat.
Oh, yeah. Now it's the stupid cat.
It's always going to be the stupid cat.
He's going to post more pictures of Jason Berry and cat cuddling. So anyway, what happened at the gun show?
At the gun show, I had a wonderful time. I walked around, ran into a few people I know. You say hi. You see if you find a deal or not. And occasionally you hear, like I always hear, as you're standing at the table and you start listening to what the dealers are actually telling people, and you just want to reach out and slap some dealers. It is just phenomenally bad. But at one table I stopped and I was looking because they had a bunch of police trade-in old Smith 5906, mm-hmm. which is an old stainless steel it's stainless.
It was a workhorse pistol for a
workhorse
long time.
Pistol. Then. A lot of departments carried it. It's a double single Smith & Wesson full-size pistol, Generation 3, the 15-round magazine. And I didn't really want one that much, but I was just looking at them because the price was so low on some of them. It's like, you know, I don't even want one, but for that, I might actually consider one.
Yeah.
And as I'm looking at it, the guy came over and said, well, you know, those are really great pistols. I've got one myself, and if you buy it right now, I'll throw in two high-capacity magazines. Those are 15-rounders. And he leaned in and goes, you know, you can't have those unless you're police or military. And I just kind of gave him a look and said, really? And he goes, no, but don't worry. I'm going to take care of you. And I was
wow,
not that I can't go to any table in here that sells magazines and buy high-capacity magazines. You're going to give me the hookup because I'm not allowed to have them.
That was nice of him.
That was very nice of him. I didn't call him out on it. I just sat there and said, wow, that's very special of you. Very nice. He must do a lot of good business
here. What do you think his reaction would have been if you, you know, pulled out your wallet and maybe flashed your badge?
It probably wouldn't have fazed him in the least, but he probably would have said something like, oh, well, good, you can buy high-capacity magazines that no one else can. It just goes to show, it's like either A, he doesn't know the law, which he probably shouldn't be in the business if he doesn't know the law, or B, he's purposely lying trying to make a sale. And either way, I would never give him a dime of my money just because he's either lying or incompetent, you know? And this table after table after table of people, you know, about 50% of them, if you're sitting there listening and looking at guns, you'll hear the salesman telling the person reliable information. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of good salesmen there. And then there's the occasional table where you just really want to reach out and slap the guy on the other side of the table. Just horrible.
Do you kind of consider it your civic duty to say something to people like that?
I used to want to, but then you get the horrible looks from, because the other one that I almost jumped in on, there was a guy that was trying to buy a gun, but he had a rifle sight that he wanted to sell. He had a Trijicon reflex sight. Okay. And for those of you who don't know what the Trijicon reflex rifle sight is, it's a hologram type sight that basically uses fiber optics only. There's no batteries or anything to it. It's on all the time. It gathers light from the surrounding area, and it has a little tritium vial in it. And so there's a little dot inside of the reticle that always glows with either ambient light or with tritium.
Uh-huh.
And it's a neat little rifle sight. It's not my personal favorite choice of a rifle sight, but there's certainly nothing wrong with them. And they're going, you know, made by Trijicon. They're probably $500 to $600 retail. Well, he's trying to throw that in his trade for the rifle that he wants, and the guy behind the counter is telling him, I'll give you $170 for it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a $500, and he's got the box, and it looks like it's brand new out of the box. And the guy's like, yeah, I tried it. I just didn't like it that much, because sometimes reflex sights have a tint to them, kind of like sunglasses.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They'll have a little blue or an orange tint to them,
yeah.
And he didn't like the blue or orange tint that came with it. But other than that, it looked like it had never been used. And the guy's like, basically said, 180. 180 is my top choice. 180 or you walk out of here. And the guy's hemming and hawing, trying to get 200, and I didn't even want it, but I had money in my pocket, and I almost said, I'll give you 200 just so he can't have it. You know, because I know he's going to buy it from you for 200, and next week when we come back to this table, he's going to have it for $5 and say, I'll let you talk me down to $4 because I'm such a nice guy.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? Which I know everybody's in business to make money. I understand everybody's in business to make money. But there's a difference between turning a profit and absolutely raping somebody who doesn't know any better.
Wholeheartedly agree, man.
It's free enterprise, dude.
I know, but I should have just whipped out my money just on principle and bought the damn thing.
I get where you're coming from. It's just, you know, the I don't know, having worked in sales, one of the things that
you buy low and sell high, I understand.
Well, and not only that, but it's one of the things that got me out of sales is that I actually had a sales manager say, well, they're going to give the money to somebody. You may as well take it.
Yeah.
Well, and that's fine. But if you've got the little old lady that comes in and says, I'd like to buy a gun, and he's trying to say, well, I get a real big profit if I sell her one of these Tauruses mm-hmm. because they have a higher markup on them. Mm-hmm. But if I sell her something she could handle, maybe something smaller, maybe something 380 or 38, I don't make as much profit. So I'm not trying to help the customer get what's best for them.
No.
I'm trying to get the biggest commission.
Yes.
And that's what bugs the hell out of me.
Exactly, which is why I don't do sales.
Yep. Sorry,
which is why you should go to Shiloh Shooting Range to buy your carry gun, because, well, if we have if we sell it, we probably have one you can try out first.
Yeah, we've sat there and argued out and said, hey, no, don't buy that gun. We want you to buy this gun.
And I can't begin to even count the number of people that have come in to shoot the Shield, the Smith & Wesson Shield, since we've been talking about it on the air.
I sure would love to have one.
I sure would love to get you one, but, man, things are not looking good. Houston, hold on tight. We'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas.
Laura Ingram, weekday mornings at 9, here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Do you have your concealed handgun license yet? If not, take your CHL class from a professional instructor at the Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range. Not one of these instructors that doesn't know which end of the gun goes bang. Shiloh instructors are professionally trained, knowledgeable, and friendly. Mention KSEV when you register by phone and get the one-time special price of just $99. Call the Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range at 281-444-8930. Come beat the heat with our new cold AC and improved ventilation units. Ladies-only concealed handgun classes are available also. Taught by Houston's best female instructor, Tracy Sanford. Classes for women, by women. The Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range is located at 12703 Shiloh Church Road, just south of 1960, just east of the Willowbrook Mall. Call us at 281-444-8930. You've got a gun. You know how to shoot. Get your CHL now. Register for the next class at 281-444-8930.
If you want solid wood furniture that'll last you and your family a lifetime, come out to Gallery Furniture, home of the world's largest in-stock selection of solid wood furniture. Gallery Furniture has an enormous selection of solid wood, reclaimed solid wood furniture, solid wood bedroom furniture, dining room furniture, solid wood chairs, solid wood coffee and tables, solid wood entertainment centers. If you want solid wood furniture that you and your family can enjoy for a lifetime, buy your solid wood furniture today at Gallery Furniture. Guaranteed, Gallery delivers tonight.
Hello, Houston, and welcome back to Guns Over Texas. If you have any questions, comments, or just want to get involved with the show, you can give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738 or Guns Over Texas Radio on Facebook. Let's head out to the phone lines to Northwest Houston. Robert, welcome to Guns Over Texas.
Yes, sir. I have a question. Why is it so hard to find somewhere to shoot reactive targets here in Houston?
Define reactive targets. Are we talking steel or are we talking tannerite?
Steel?
Even with steel, the issue that often comes up is simply the liability that comes from the ricochet and
the
splatter off of the off of the steel.
And yeah, so, because I've been looking all over the internet trying to find a range where someone can just shoot at steel.
Yeah, that's the thing. Most ranges don't allow it, particularly commercial ranges. Almost the only place that you can do that anymore is a private range, and even then, places like PSC here in Houston, you have to have a waiver and have been cleared for your membership has to have been cleared to allow you
and
to do that.
They're expensive enough that when people go out there with the wrong caliber or the wrong rifle setup, they
punch
holes in
the
steel
yeah.
and they ruin a $200 piece of steel because they just wanted to see if their green tip penetrator rounds actually worked.
Yeah.
And so they start poking holes in the steel.
Or they didn't know that was an issue and they drummed around off.
Worse yet, they shoot the AK or something that's got steel core in it
right.
and then they start a spark and they set the grass on fire, and that's a bad thing. Yeah. Gary knows a little bit about starting fires, but
hey.
I used to be punching holes on paper all my life, and I'm just sick of it.
Yeah.
Well, steel is fun in that you get the immediate gratification. You hear a ding, you see it fall, you see it swing. It's a good way to, especially with newer shooters, they can get a little instant gratification on the target. Instead of shooting a group, walking down and seeing if they hit, it's nice to be able to swing the steel, but there's just some liability. Like they said, if you ricochets bounce a long way.
Now, if you do want to come out and shoot some steel, the West Houston Shooters Club is actually holding a steel match tomorrow night starting at 6 p.m.
Do you need frangible ammo?
Nope.
Ooh.
Ah.
Yes. Ah.
So if you're interested in shooting Steel Challenge, we've actually got a match tomorrow night out at the Impact Zone. We're out in Brookshire. Just look up the club, you know, website, West Houston or WHIDPA.com.
Now we as an agency have a lot of steel, and we shoot it. But the problem is they ship us frangible ammo to try to use. And basically over the years we found that the only thing that frangible ammo is really good for is teaching us stoppage clearage, because that is the worst ammo I have ever shot in my life.
Right.
Now, Robert, have you shot steel before?
No, I never have. I just seen a lot of pictures, and I've wanted to do it for a long time.
Yep. It is a lot of fun to shoot, but the first time you get on a steel spinner, that can be the most frustrating time of your life.
And make sure you're at least a good 10, 12 yards back.
Yeah, because, you know, when we go to the Defense Training International classes in Victoria, there's spinners set up down, you know, the entire from one end of the range to the other, and you just move from spinner to spinner. Yeah. And it is terribly frustrating if you're having a bad day. But at least twice a day I get hit by splashback.
Yep.
You know, at least twice.
Which is why we wear glasses.
Exactly. Robert, do you have your concealed carry license?
Yes, sir.
What is more important to you in a carry gun, Robert? Size of the bullet or your ammo count?
That's a good question. I'm carrying a .380 right now. I wish I had not done that. I wish I was carrying a 9. Mm-hmm. And as far as the number of rounds, I think if I need to have more than 5 or 6 rounds, I'm in a world of trouble.
Well, I'll say this. If you're in a shooting to begin with,
you're in a world of trouble. And what does Gary always say? Nobody's ever ended a gunfight and thought, wow, I wish I had fewer rounds.
I just cannot picture something requiring me to put more than 4 or 5 rounds downrange.
Well, two people.
Yeah.
Each one gets two.
Right.
You run out real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't imagine it. So right now it's a .380. I don't like it. I think the round's too small.
How many rounds do you have?
It has 6.
Yeah, that's kind of a small number.
Yep. And that's not to dog out anybody who's got a 5-shot revolver or something like that, but people need to understand that your marksmanship is going to degrade when you're under stress, and you're probably not going to be using your sights as much. It's probably going to be a lot more reactive. Your heart's going to be racing. The target's not going to be kind and hold still for you. It's going to want to move, and it's probably going to be shooting back or doing something back to you.
Right.
So if you assume that you're a decent shot beforehand, and you at least lose 50% of your accuracy, you're going to have 50% misses, and you only got 5 shots to begin with, or you only have 6 shots to begin with, and you're going to have 50% misses, you start seeing that there's going to be some issues there, especially if the target's not going to hold still for you.
Yeah, I just like to be able to – what I like so much about it is I can actually stick it in my front pocket.
Yeah. And it beats leaving a gun at home because you can't carry it. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I actually looked at a .380 today, which I'll talk about here when we're off the call and let them make fun of me appropriately. But, you know, any gun beats no gun. But still, carry the most gun that you can reasonably carry.
Yeah, that's – I mean –
Now, you got to remember also, guns are supposed to be comforting, not comfortable.
Yep.
That's good, guys. Hey, listen, thank you very much. So please tell me again where on Monday night is this?
This is a bit of a drive, but if you happen to be on the west side, it's the West Houston IDPA Club or West Houston Shooters Club. And we're going to be out at the Impact Zone, which happens to be at the intersection of 359 and 529. About an hour west of Houston. But if not, there's also going to be apparently a club over at American Shooting Center that will be doing Steel Challenge. And I think that will also be Monday nights, but I don't know anything more about it just yet.
I say go out to the Impact Zone because, you know, it is a little bit of a trek out there. Yeah. But talking to Phil Oxley, the owner of that place, is worth the price and gas alone.
I'll give you that. Yes, because Phil is a character.
He is a character. And the West Houston Shooters, good bunch of guys.
And it's a great club. And
now, just going to be clearing plates, like the six?
Will be Steel Challenge. So it will be 5 plates. You'll do 5 runs on each stage.
Okay. And you're shooting head-to-head, or you're shooting against the clock?
Against the clock.
Okay.
Yeah, against the clock.
Guys, and if someone's not done this before, will someone be there?
Yes.
They'll walk you through it. It's all about safety.
Yeah, the West Houston Shooters Club, we love having new folks showing up. And, you know, you'll start at a low ready so we can walk you through things. You don't have to worry about trying to be fast. Don't even worry about the clock initially. Just worry about being safe. And there'll be someone there to give you a new shooter orientation.
And it starts at 6?
Yes, sir. 6 p.m.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Robert, thank you for calling us at Guns Over Texas. We look forward, or Gary looks forward to seeing you out there tomorrow night. I'd like to participate, but fortunately I've got other plans tomorrow night. Now, there's been a case in the news recently. We've got the NRA is going to the Supreme Court. They had oral arguments this week. It's not the Supreme Court. It's the United Circuit Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit in the case of Jennings versus BATFE, in which the NRA is appealing a decision by a federal court in Texas which held that the Second Amendment doesn't protect the right of 18 to 20-year-old adults to buy firearms from federally licensed dealers. What do you fellas think? Should 18 to 20-year-olds be able to buy?
18 to 20-year-olds, I thought, could. I thought an 18-year-old could buy a rifle. It was just for handguns.
They could buy rifles. It's just they can buy handguns.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the thing is, the law is the law, so you can't buy one.
No, well, they're appealing that. They want to make, the NRA is trying to make it. You know,
it wouldn't bother me too terribly much.
It doesn't bother me if we want to, you know, basically change it back to what it was, which was 18.
Mm-hmm. We give a 16-year-old a 3,000-pound car and let him drive at 80 miles an hour.
Which
is how is that any
dangerous?
Or, yeah, I mean, it's either they're going to be responsible or they're not. But,
right.
You know, I don't know how anyone's any more responsible at 21 than 18 because they're not,
same
not
argument,
much mental.
Yeah. Well, the same argument
there.
Happened with when it came to drinking. You know, it was, no, you can't drink until you're 21.
Well, no, you can't legally drink. Trust me, there's many 18-year-olds drinking.
Yeah, yes, we know.
All right, now, I would like to hear what Houston has to say about this. Do you think that 18 to 20-year-olds should be able to buy handguns? Do you think that their Second Amendment right is being trampled by this federal court in Texas that says no, that says that the Second Amendment doesn't protect the right of 18 to 20-year-olds to buy pistols, handguns?
But here's the kicker, though. If I'm 18 years old and can't buy a kicker, or I can't go out and buy a pistol, and I say, Dad, I want a new pistol for my 18th birthday, and Dad gives it to me,
buy one.
Then I can still possess it.
Right.
Yeah, but not everybody has a dad that's willing to do that.
Yeah, well, that's what I want for Christmas, so that's what I'm going to get, you know?
And, dude, I just did a class for a guy yesterday. His mom bought him his first 1911. He's like 13 years old. You know, he came to our club.
That's a good mom.
You know? A great mom.
What kind of 1911?
I believe it was a Colt.
Even better, Mom. I thought you were going to say a high standard or something.
No.
All right, so I want to hear, do you think 18 to 20-year-olds should be able to buy handguns? And I also want to find out, what do you find most important in a carry gun, the size of your bullet or the ammo count? This is something that I want to find out about because we've got the XDS, Springfield XDS, the 45, the 5-round 45 that's come out that people are just going nuts for.
Rounds of 45.
Exactly.
Five plus one?
My point. Yes, it's a five plus one.
If you're going to carry a 5-round J frame anyway,
I would rather.
If I'm only going to have five, I'd rather have five of 45.
No, wait a minute.
If we're going to talk about
a 5-round 45, we've said a many a day, there is no such thing as a compact 45. Okay.
And a 5-round, that is true.
And a 5-round 45 is one heck of a lot bigger
than a J frame. I'll give you that.
Okay. Now, we've got two guns that are near impossible to get a hold of right now. That's the Springfield XDS, the 5 plus 145, right. Or the Smith & Wesson Shield, mm-hmm. Both of which are going to be similar in size. Both of them are...
Shield's going to be a lot flatter.
A whole lot
the
flatter.
The XDS is less than 1 inch in width.
Really?
Yes.
In a 45?
Yes.
And you can wad it up like tinfoil? What's it made out of? I mean, there's got to be steel around the bullet, you know? I mean, the bullet is fat.
With the slide lock lever on the side of the XDS, the slide lock lever is what makes the width precisely 1 inch.
Then that thing is going to have a slide that is tall as hell and a high bore axis. Okay. They crunched it all down to make up for the slide reciprocating. They still have to have mass in there.
You have to have mass in there somewhere because otherwise you're going to crack a slide. So
So the mass has got to be up and down then, or they're going to have a 28-pound spring on it. You know,
the spring is supposed to be really tense.
I would bet. I would be willing to bet.
So yeah. I want to find out what's most important to people. Would you rather have 6 rounds of 45, or would you rather have 9 rounds of 9mm?
Why not just get a 6-round officer's model 1911?
You can do that too. But that officer's 1911 is going to be bigger and heavier than the XDS or the Shield.
I'm going to withhold judgment on the XDS until I see one actually run, because I, judging from XD's track record, I'm not, not holding my breath on it. And, it, you know, even at the gun show today, I picked up several XDs, and I want to like them. I like the trigger pull on it. The reset's not that bad. I want to like it, but I've just seen too many of them just die horrible deaths, you know, that, that I just can't recommend it. But I really do want to like it. I can't.
All right, so we're posing two questions to you, Houston. Do you think 18-year-olds should be able to buy handguns? And what's most important to you in a carry gun, the size of your bullet or your ammo count? 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Let's head out to Porter and talk to Cecil. Cecil, welcome to Guns Over Texas.
Thank you. I've got a question about a – I'm tired of spending all this money on this 40 caliber for my wife and I both. And does anybody make a 22 Magnum automatic other than Caltech?
Oh, man.
Oh, they do.
Not you. You think you're going to save money by shooting 22 Magnum?
Or 22 longs, the long rifle.
22 long. If you just, are you talking about just to have something to practice with, and you're still going to carry the 40?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. What kind of 40 are you carrying right now?
I'm carrying a Smith and Wesson.
Smith and Wesson, what?
The Sig type, no, the one that they copied.
Decocker and all.
That's the Sigma model, which is the, you know, the one that they patterned after.
The Glock.
I'd like to give that sucker to somebody.
Smith & Wesson makes a Smith & Wesson Military and Police 22,
right,
which is a carbon copy. It's a clone of their M&P model gun, and only it shoots 22. Mm-hmm. It is a heck of a gun. Big fan of the M&P 22.
Yeah, if you want to be able to practice with something that's similar to a service weapon.
Yep.
Because a lot of your Target 22s that are out there are just that. They're Target 22s, and so mm-hmm. they don't bear any resemblance or
and the weight isn't going to be quite the same
operation or anything to what we would normally use as a defensive handgun. Now, so I mean, I like the M&P, but the M&P 22.
There's another option. You can get an M&P or a Glock, either one, and you can buy it in 40 cal if that's what you want to carry, and you can buy a 9mm conversion barrel and 9mm mags, and that way you can practice with 9 because it'll be a lot cheaper. Not quite half price, but say if it's like $10 a box for 9 and $15 a box for 40.
It's a 30% reduction.
Yeah, about a 30% reduction in cost there, and you can get a replacement barrel for those for about $100 from Storm Lake or some other vendors out there, Lone Wolf. But either the Glock or the Smith & Wesson M&P will do the replacement barrels. I don't think you're going to find a replacement barrel for the third generation or the Sigma for the Smith & Wessons.
Could you guys order me one if I come to Shiloh and pay for it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think I got one there right now.
I need two of them.
We can do that for you. They'll run you about $360
each?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, that's what I need to know, guys. Thank you.
All right, now, Cecil, I have a question for you. Do you think 18 to 20-year-olds should be able to buy handguns?
If they can serve in the military, hell yes.
All right, Cecil. All right.
If they can vote, yes.
All right.
Which means they're not a felon, so basically as long as you're not a felon, I got no issue with it.
Yeah. Bye.
Yep.
Thank you for calling, Cecil. We appreciate your contributions to Guns Over Texas.
Thank you, guys.
I'm going to throw something else out there that might be the controversial part of this. If they're not a felon and they actually graduated high school. Give them a little incentive, because do you want the guy that dropped out in the ninth grade? God, I feel bad saying that, but, you know, because that's denying some of their constitutional rights, blah, blah, blah. But then again, if you're not putting forth any effort, do I really want you out there running around with a gun? Because if you dropped out of high school, you might just be out there.
You might be a turd.
There have been dropouts that have made, you know, millions of dollars. And
there have been tons of people. They're probably the exception rather than the rule.
There's some knucklehead now who's a dropout, and he's running around in a chrome-plated Fisker or whatever, running from the police in L.A. or something like that.
Bieber?
Justin Bieber, you know, the musician
your favorite singer?
Yeah,
okay. That I listen to, whatever.
Aren't you going to take Clay Aiken as your date to a Justin Bieber concert?
Oh, man, on that note.
Never mind.
We're going to head out to spring and talk to Ken. Ken, welcome to Guns Over Texas.
How do?
Doing good, sir. What you got for us?
Well, as far as the caliber versus capacity, yes. There you go.
Okay.
carry one with a 65 caliber with a whole bunch of bullets, and then, you know, have another one too, because who's going to carry just one?
Okay, well, he threw a little kink in your argument there, didn't he?
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have no issue with that. What are you carrying right now, sir?
Right now,
you got a check?
I have recently joined the, quote, nine is fine crowd.
Ah!
Yeah.
And
I was in the Marine Corps when
the, it kind of hurts to say that for the first few months,
doesn't it?
They
made the switch from the 45 to the 9 when I was in, and I'm like, this is for women. yeah, there has been a substantial improvement in ammunition, especially
right.
since I hold my own ammo.
Right.
So
that is the key issue, is that now if you're stuck shooting ball, then yeah, I'd take a 45 all day long. But with modern ammunition, 9mm is not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As far as the age to carry, if they are currently serving, fine. And I think that's actually law now. If they're currently
that
serving,
that is law
they
that they can carry if they're serving.
Yes,
but they legally still can't buy.
Yeah, they can't buy it from an FFL.
Can they buy the ammunition at 18?
That's just it. That's no. In fact, when you if you talk to DPS, DPS specifically tells us as instructors to tell people to seek legal counsel on the issue. So DPS will not give a definitive answer on that.
I think if they are currently serving, they need to be permitted to.
Right.
And I'll throw something else in there, just me and my redneck, only if they vote conservatively.
I think there's a pretty good chance that that's the way they'd vote anyway.
Well, if they're buying the gun,
they're probably going to be conservative.
Pretty good chance.
If they're not buying the gun, it's because they're still spending mommy and daddy's money.
You'd be amazed how many people...
Got government cheese going on.
I was
going to
say,
you'd
be surprised how many people love their government cheese, love to vote blue, and yet buy guns.
Well, Zimmerman was a big Democrat supporter.
Exactly.
Was.
Yeah.
Now he loves the NRA.
Save me.
Again, we appreciate you calling. Thank you for contributing to the show. And, Houston, we're going to take a commercial break. If you're on hold, we're going to get right back to the phone lines when we come back. So hold on just a minute longer for more Guns Over Texas.
Basic training for conservatives. And you better show up on time. The Mac Show. Weekday mornings from 6 till 9 on AM 700 KSEV.
No one has a right to make you a victim. I'm Tracy from Shiloh Shooting Range. Have you ever heard footsteps behind you that made you feel uneasy? Or a stranger scare you while walking to your car? Every week, more and more women from all over Houston are coming to see me, empowering themselves by learning the gift of self-defense. Whether you come in for a one-on-one basic handgun training class or to get your ladies-only concealed handgun license, I'm here to offer you my ladies-only classes. If you're a beginner, book your basic training class. If you know how to shoot, book your CHL class. All designed exclusively for women. Call me at Shiloh Shooting Range, 281-444-8930. 281-444-8930. That's 281-444-8930. Or sign up at shilohshooting.com. Because no one has a right to make you a victim.
It's Dewhurst versus Cruz. The runoff race the whole country is watching. Debate number 2, Tuesday night, July 17th, 8 o'clock. KSEV takes you to Dallas for the second debate between Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst and Texas Solicitor General Ted Cruz. Download the KSEV app and listen anywhere on your smartphone. Hear the audio stream at KSEVradio.com. Listen in your car on AM 700. Dewhurst versus Cruz on AM 700 KSEV.
Welcome back, Houston, to more Guns Over Texas. We put out a couple of questions for you right now with, do you think that 18 to 20-year-olds should be able to legally purchase handguns from a federal firearms dealer? The NRA is bringing a case to the United Circuit Court of Appeals in this. And we've also asked, what is more important to you in a carry gun, size of the bullet or the ammo count? As we've got more and more concealed carry guns coming out on the market, that is a good question. So give us a call at 281-558-5738 and tell us what you think. Let's head out to the Woodlands and talk to Gerard. Gerard, welcome to Guns Over Texas.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to tell you that I bought one of the new M&P shields, and when it works, I love the gun in every way. Mm-hmm. Trouble is, it doesn't work.
Uh-oh.
Hmm. How is is it not doing? How is it not working?
I buy the gun, I take it out to the range, and the first shot goes bang, mm-hmm. and then I go to squeeze off the second round, nothing. I can't pull the trigger. I concentrate on the gun, and it's the slide is hung up about an eighth of an inch out of battery.
Mm.
So anyway, I shove it forward with my hand. Mm-hmm. Next shot goes bang. And since then, about every fifth to seventh shot, same thing happens. It just doesn't fail to – it fails to completely go back into battery.
Fails to go into battery.
So I've got about 800 rounds through this handgun. I thought, well, you know, I'll break it in. It will work fine. Mm-hmm. It didn't, so I send it back to S&W, and they're very nice, and they say, okay, the letter that was returned with the gun says, oh, it meets specs. We polished the rails, and we replaced the extractor and the extractor spring.
Okay.
Sounds good. I go out to a local range again. Same problems start to occur.
What caliber is this in?
40. It's the 9mm.
Oh, it's a 9.
It's
okay.
A 9.
Yeah. And,
what kind of ammo are you using?
Well, the first time I was using a Corbon Powerball.
Okay.
Which autocycle?
Is that autocycle? Definitely.
Sure. And I've run, hardball. I've run the various Hornady tap through it. Same problems. Even hardball, it won't work with. So.
Has anybody else shot it besides you, sir?
A neighbor tried it, and same thing. And it's, I'm not being limp-wristed or anything like mm-hmm. that. And, in fact, you can notice the problem if you take your – put the safety on, but uh-huh. put your palm on the muzzle of the gun and shove the slide back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Release the pressure. The gun will not return to battery. And I've told this to Smith & Wesson, and it's on its way back there the second time.
Hmm.
And I don't know what's doing this, but it seems like there's too much pressure from the magazine. And it's retarding that slide.
Yeah, I could see where that could happen. The other thing is actually, for those of us with large hands, our thumbs can impede the slide going back in the battery. But
if it's multiple shooters over multiple ammo and multiple
not
platforms,
then it's not likely to be that. So that would still be something I'd actually have to see the gun.
Yeah, we'd
in
have
person.
To see the gun and like feel it and move the slide around. It might be a burr somewhere in there.
Yeah, in fact, it's almost what it sounds like, or a weak spring, but it's a captured. Spring system.
Well, they said they'd polished the rails and everything, and the gun was in spec.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if polishing the rails would be what I'd think to do. It's the barrel hood. There's all kinds of lockup points.
Right.
Like where it's locking up, reach face.
Like that.
I tell you what, Gerard.
The extractor is a good idea to change, though.
I can fix your problem for you. Mm-hmm. Bring it to me, and I'll either trade it in for you, or I'll buy it off you straight up.
Unfortunately, it's on its way back to S&W for the second time.
Okay. Well, when it comes back, if it's still not working for you, bring it into me, and I will figure out a way to make that thing work.
And, the last time, it was so bad that I was firing the deep penetrating ammo, the all brass bullet,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't feed, and the new cartridge was so hung up, it blocked the slide. And I couldn't get it out until I took a screwdriver and pried the round up. It had locked between the slide and the magazine, and it tied up the gun completely.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that's weird.
I would almost say if you bring it in, since there's a couple of other shields available to Jeff, take one thing at a time and swap it out. Just put in a different recoil spring and shoot a few rounds, see if that helps. If that doesn't do it, just swap the barrel, see if the barrel is what's hanging up. But if there's if there's another gun up there at Shiloh that you can swap parts with, I think that changing two or three parts out and seeing what the culprit part is would probably help narrow it down quite a bit.
Well, I'd love it because I really like the gun.
Well, we recommend it all the time, so we'd like to know what the heck's up with it too.
And we can switch the parts out on the one that I use for carry. And, if it still doesn't work for you, like I said, I'll buy it from you.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Gerard. Gerard, actually, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about 18-year-olds buying pistols? Do you think they should be able to?
Yes. If they can serve in the military and carry guns there, they can certainly do it in regular society.
Thank you, sir. You're a good man. I don't care what everybody else says about you.
Well, thank you very much.
You have a good one, Gerard. Thank you for calling the show.
Bye now.
All right, and let's head out to Spring and talk to Larry. Larry, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away.
Well, I, calling to get a recommendation for a concealable gun.
Okay.
I'm looking for something with high quality, a double-action automatic with an internal hammer, and use a 9 or 40 caliber.
Car, M&P, Glock.
Yeah, there's a long list.
There's a
And, yeah, M&P. I mean, we were just discussing the M&P Shield, but, you know, that's that – that gun sounds like an anomaly compared to everything we've seen.
Yeah, I've yet to see one hang up.
Yeah, I've seen over a dozen of that gun so far, and none of them have had the problems that our previous callers
had. Mine's still over, it's over 2,000 rounds, probably right around 2,100 now.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Not one hiccup.
So, I mean, that's definitely a gun we recommend. Certainly Glock. Mm-hmm. You know, it's SIG is going to be an external hammer. The XDS, I just can't get excited about, but a lot of people like it.
Car. Still on board with the car, man.
That's pretty much what you described in a semi-automatic hammerless or internal striker, double action only. The car and the Beretta Nano also.
You know, I played with the Beretta Nano. That's a high bore axis. The trigger pull's not bad at all, but I haven't shot it yet. I've only played with it. Great trigger pull, but, man, it's going to have to be snappy.
I shot it, and it shot surprisingly soft.
Really?
What was that gun you said had the two barrels? You could swap them out? Between the 9 and the 40?
Well, most of the
you can
full
buy
size,
a gun in 40 and put a 9mm barrel in it.
Yeah, and that's going to be the full size and the compact model of Smith & Wesson M&P. Now, the Shield, I don't know about yet. It's new to the party, so I don't know if there's a replacement barrel for that yet.
Well, the thing is I don't know if the barrels from a 9mm will drop into
they
40 cal.
That one the jury is still out on. But the full-size M&P and the M&P Compact that are both double-stack magazines, those barrels between the 9 and 40 can interchange. Now, it doesn't always work the same way you would think. You could put a 9mm barrel into a 40, and the breech face will accept that 9mm round in a 40 caliber gun. But if you try to put the 40 caliber barrel into a 9mm, the 9mm breech face is too narrow to accept the 40 caliber round. So you can always downsize a round, but you can't upsize a 9 to a 40. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
All right. And I don't know if Carr has that ability or not. I know that specifically because I own them. I know that Glock and M&P will both do that.
All right. How does that do for you, Larry? Clear things up a little bit?
That gives me a place to go.
All right. Larry, thank you for calling. We appreciate listening to Guns Over Texas.
All right, thanks.
All right. And let's head out to Brenham. John and Brenham, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, I've had my CHL now since 96 when it first came out. And I've toggled between, you know, started at 9, went up to 45, and then at a 40. But I started doing the math of how much I actually carried. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm in and out of offices and under desks, so belt carry is a real shower, so I couldn't do that. And fanny packs have gone out with 1990s.
Yeah, those were never in, trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what I've come up with is a stubby 357 Magnum revolver in my front pocket.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, with just small little holster inside just to break the profile.
Right.
But now I carry 95% of the time.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, when it's convenient and easy, you tend to do it more.
And I've been practicing with it. You can be in condition orange with your hand in your pocket right on the gun and nobody really knows it. So I like that part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can get it out and shut off to the steel at a, you know, 0.7, 0.8 on a good day.
Mm-hmm.
So the drawability is good there. It's safety. You know, I don't feel, you know, sort of scared with a revolver like I would with an automatic with one in the pipe in my front pocket trying to draw from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to get back to some sort of a 45 automatic. That's why the XDS sort of caught my ear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I've got five shots of 357 Magnum. Here's my question to you guys. What beats it? You know, should I look into the six-shot 45, or am I pretty good at my five-shot 357 Magnum?
Well, first, let me throw this out there, and I don't want to sound like a jerk, okay? But it's not an automatic. It's a semi-automatic.
Semi-automatic, yes, sir.
Okay? It's kind of like nails on chalkboard to me. So I just want to get that out there.
I was going to let it slide.
Okay. So, Jason, you had something to
say. Well, no, I was going to say, have you considered Carr makes a 45 caliber pistol that is relatively flat, and I believe it's 5+1 for the Carr, and it's probably one of the flattest
I think 45 it's for pocket still carry. B-flat is
yeah. Now the jury's still out on the XD because we haven't seen it, touched it, smelt it, or tasted it yet.
I can't get excited about it. You know, here's my hang up with the XD is there are controls on that gun that don't need to be there. If it goes down, it's a brick.
If it goes down, you have to mail it to the manufacturer to get it unjammed. I've seen that.
And
yeah,
exactly. So that's a hang up for me. And at the end of the day, there's still the fact that I still remember when that gun was new to the market and it was a $275 Croatian sensation. I cannot deal with the price tag attached to it today.
But that's because they put a pretty roll mark on it.
To be fair, that was the regular XD. These are the XDM models, the match grade barrel and all that.
Why don't you just marry it then, huh?
In other words, it's got tactical Gucci on it because it's got Gucci on the side. Therefore, I have to pay an extra $400. I don't think so.
See, in the grand scheme of things, though, there's nothing wrong with the 357 this man's carrying right now.
Right.
The only thing I have a problem with 357 is that cylinder is kind of fat, and it does tend to – I prefer a flatter profile gun that's a little bit quicker to reload. There's nothing – I mean, I don't want to face somebody with five shots of 357 coming at me. I mean, that would definitely
that
ruin my day.
Ruin your day.
But I think that there are things that are a little bit flatter and quicker to reload. And if you're not opposed to 9mm, the car or the shield in 9 – there's nothing wrong with a 45. I'd look at the car single stack and 45 and see what you think about that.
Okay, I'll try that when I get a chance. Thank you all very much. You all have a great show.
All right. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you calling. We appreciate you listening to Guns Over Texas all the way out there in Brenham. Mm-hmm. Now let's head out to Meyerland and talk to Mitch. Mitch, welcome back to Guns Over Texas.
Pleasure to be here.
All right, now, Mitch, just so you know, we only have a couple of minutes before the next break, and that's the long break. So let's have at it, Mitch.
I'll run fast. I had an FBI agent buddy of mine who got in a gunfight across the table in a bar.
Uh-huh.
And both he and the bad guy emptied their guns at each other and missed.
We've heard of that one before.
Yep.
But to answer your other question about I was a 1911 fan, loved the gun, but there's something about having 15+1. Yes. Of 9mm at 115 grain carbine, that kind of makes me feel good. I might be able to stay a while.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the guy's problem with his loading, tell him to try a new clip because he may have dropped it and didn't realize he bent the lips on it.
Right. Yeah, well, the Smith & Wesson Shield comes with two magazines, so I'm assuming he's gone through both mags. That's just my assumption.
I never assume.
Yeah.
And explain what the difference is between a striker and so forth. I hear those terms come out, and my
well, the whole deal is, I'll hit it real quick. You know, hammer fired is what we traditionally see, where there's a actual physical hammer that falls and strikes a firing pin, and that firing pin moves forward, strikes the primer, and ignites the round. With a striker system, we basically combine the firing pin and hammer into one unit. So there's a means by which we impart energy onto that striker, usually a spring, pull it to the rear to charge it with that energy through the spring, and then release it and allow it to fly forward under its own inertia and strike the firing pin, and that's what ignites that round. So guns like your Glocks, the XDs that we were talking about, a lot of your current generation polymer pistols are striker-fired, and then a lot of your traditional steel or iron guns from back in the day mm-hmm. tend to be hammer-fired.
The striker tends to be a simpler system, a little
it
bit.
Is. It's a little bit simpler system.
Fewer parts.
How about that 250 SIG that I've got?
That's going to be a hammer-fired system.
Yeah, because you can see the hammer.
Yes.
But,
Some people like to see that hammer.
It's recessed.
Yes. But some people get a warm, fzzy feeling seeing if the hammer is up or down.
Right.
It's some people, especially police administrators, really like being able to look and see that condition of that gun.
Right. And there's also the advantage that hammer systems can be set up for double strike capability, and that's not easy or simple to do with a striker-fired system.
Well, that 250 comes with a double strike. If it doesn't go off, you just pull it again.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that is the advantage of a hammer-fired gun.
And the other thing, to answer the old boy's question about changing out, like that 250, I think there's another SIG. You can make it a 45-40, 9mm, or a 357 SIG.
Yeah, and it's totally modular, so you can also go from subcompact, compact, full size.
Right.
So, Mitch, I have a pretty good idea that I already have the answer to this question, but do you think 18-year-olds should be able to buy handguns?
I think they should. If they can get shot at for the flag, they can sure as hell protect themselves on our streets.
Yep. All right, agreed. Mitch, we appreciate it. Okay, now, Houston, we're fixing to take our commercial break. It's going to be about 6 or 7 minutes. But coming back from our commercial break, we have a very special guest, a mentor to both myself and Gary. We've got John Farnham is calling in, and we're going to talk a little bit about his classes and get him to pontificate a little bit about what's going on in the gun world and gun industry at this time. So you definitely want to come back for hour number two, and stay tuned for more Guns Over Texas. It's about to get exciting.
Conservatives find their voice.
Dressers, mirrors, chest, desk, hutch, chair, whatever you need for your kids' room. Buy your kids' room furniture today. Gallery delivers tonight.
Dewhurst versus Cruz. The Texas U.S. Senate race is the one the entire country is following. You can follow it online and on the air at KSEV. Listen to the candidates debate. Listen to their KSEV interviews. You'll find them online at ksevradio.com. And listen to other voters. Listen to the Mac Show weekday mornings. Listen to Baker Patrick weekday afternoons. Get the information you need to make an informed decision on AM 700 KSEV.
If you want to get a home improvement project done, but you don't know who to call, I can help. This is Dave Ramsey. Don't call. Log on to checkapro.com. You can find pre-qualified hometown contractors for just about any home improvement project at checkapro.com. 6 years ago, Jim Clouk, Checkapro Joe, started Checkapro in Katy, then in Sugarland, and then the Woodlands. Contractors that service these areas met a rigorous pre-qualification process, and they have to meet face-to-face with Jim, the owner of Checkapro. Select Katy, Sugarland, or the Woodlands on the homepage. Then select the service you require. You'll find everything you need to feel confident about hiring a contractor and getting your project done right. And sign up for the free $25 gift card and use it every time you hire a Checkapro contractor. If you're looking for a quality home service provider in Katy, Sugarland, or the Woodlands, check them out at checkapro.com.
My name is Jennifer. I'm 44, and I lost weight with the Amberin program.
My name is Kim. I'm 47, and I lost weight with the Amberin program.
I'm Jane. I'm 52, and I lost a ton of weight with the Amberin program. Even my belly fat is gone, and it was so easy.
Thousands of women over 40 who used to struggle with weight gain are having incredible success with the Amberin program. That's because Amberin focuses on hormonal balance. The leading cause of weight gain in women over 40, especially during menopause, is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, losing weight can be practically impossible. But the Amberin program balances your hormones naturally, making losing weight surprisingly easy. Plus, Amberin eliminates other symptoms of unbalanced hormones, like hot flashes, irritability, and sleeplessness. Call in the next 15 minutes to receive a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply free. Call 1-800-890-5212. That's 1-800-890-5212. 1-800-890-5212.
Don't miss the Mac Show, weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on KSEV. The Mac Show, brought to you in part by your partners at International Eye Care and Lifestyle Center. Call today at 713-984-9777 or go to texaslasik.com to see all they have to offer.
From KSEV, the voice of Texas, this is Guns Over Texas. Jeff Sanford and Gary Montgomery are the gun nuts. They believe in America. They fight for your Second Amendment rights. They teach safety, advanced shooting skills, and responsible gun ownership. They just love guns. Guns Over Texas starts now.
Hello, Houston, and welcome back to hour number two of Guns Over Texas. We've, the first hour, a lot of phone calls, and it seems to be that everybody thinks that 18-year-olds should be able to legally buy handguns.
Everyone who listens to our show, yes.
Well, it's a small sample size, but of course, it's a very intelligent sample size.
Well, yes, but we do realize that there are these knuckleheads out there that, you know, elected our current president.
Head over to Air America Radio and see how much traction you get for your 18-year-old and guns idea. Little Janine Garofalo DJ show, I don't think it's going to go over real well.
You know what? I bet we have more listeners than she does.
You know, it wouldn't shock me.
It wouldn't, a bit.
Now, Houston, we have a very special guest. We've got that's fixing to join us on the air. His name is John Farnham, and John has been a mentor to thousands of shooters out there, and anything from civilians to law enforcement officers to military personnel. John himself was a Marine. Is a Marine.
Yes, and, was a Marine always.
Three Purple Hearts, was a chief of police in Colorado, is an absolute sage in the world of guns and in the education and educating people and the proper art of the way of the gun. And so it is, man, I'm just really excited to have John on the phone with us. So, John, welcome to your very first initial phone call. Hopefully it won't be the last to Guns Over Texas Radio.
Well, thank you most kindly for inviting me. I hope I can spread the sunshine here.
All right. It's never been an issue with you spreading sunshine before, John. It's just an absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And, well, to start off, you are going to have another class here in Texas. Well, the closest one in Texas is going to be to us in Victoria.
In Victoria,
and
yeah.
That's going to be October 13th and 14th.
That's correct.
A basic intermediate defensive handgun and an advanced defensive handgun urban rifle course.
That's correct.
Tell us what a new student should expect at your classes.
Our classes are dedicated to preparing people for lethal circumstances. We don't, in our classes, talk much about the recreational use of guns, nor contest shooting and things like that. It's a very serious class on the subject of personal protection. And so we teach students how to run a gun, of course, but there is a whole philosophical overlay that has to go along with it. There's a repertoire of verbal commands, of postural sorts of things, of movement, and it's all rolled into a program. Learning how to run a waffle iron does not prepare you to make breakfast. We don't teach someone how to run a waffle iron and then say, now make breakfast.
Right.
Making breakfast involves a whole number of skills, a small percentage of which revolves around operating a waffle iron. Of course, everyone wants to shoot, and we do a lot of shooting, but there's a lot of other subjects a student needs to understand thoroughly in order to prepare him or her for not only a lethal encounter, but also to confront the criminal justice system, which will, of course, become involved. And there's a lot of things people need to expect, need to know how to deal with, need to know what to say, what not to say. And so all that is rolled into our course, and some of it is a little dry and some of it's more exciting, but we try to make it all as exciting as we can.
Now, I can tell you personally one thing that people should definitely not expect at one of your classes, and that is any sort of hand-holding or coddling.
Yes.
Thank you. This is part of our philosophy, and you are very familiar with this, of course, because you've been our student a number of times, and you're actually one of our instructors.
Yes, sir.
How do I put this without making everybody angry with me? The American educational system manufactures losers, sniveling, whining, excuse-making
losers.
Why would
we be upset with that?
I find it affects all of us. It affects me, too. Mm-hmm. I'll be talking about something, and then I'll start making an excuse for myself. And I have to stop and slap myself in the face and say, stop that. You're not 2 years old. You're an adult. You have to take your lumps and go on. So we try to get students into this line of thinking. When I hear a bunch of excuses, you know, well, the sun was in my eyes, my underwear too tight, my mother didn't breast me as a child, and blah, 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 I say the same. Stop that. Are you listening to yourself? Do you hear how ridiculous you sound? that's going to get in the way of you learning this stuff. You have to start taking personal responsibility. And, of course, personal responsibility, of course, is a dirty word among many in the various political corners of our country. But it's vital to learning this skill set. And if you bring that loser attitude to one of our classes, you'll have a very short and unhappy time.
Now, as our listening audience can tell, coming to your class, paying for your class, it's worth the price of admission just to listen to you pontificate in between shooting, you know, on breaks.
Right.
And, John, you are a tough man. You are a tough instructor, but very, man, I felt like it was such an accomplishment in my life just finishing your class. I have to tell you that Vicky's class, your wife, was absolutely terrifying. Okay? I enjoyed your class. I was scared of Vicky's class. And y'all are just such an asset to the community.
Vicky, of course, his teacher's with me. Mm-hmm. Vicky has made quite a specialty of helping us male instructors be effective with our female students.
And now, at the same token, when I say that, her class has helped me at the shooting range, running a shooting range,
yes. And
giving lessons all the time, you know, all day, every day. Her class on teaching women to shoot has helped me more than any class I've ever attended.
Well, that's kind of you to say. As you know, there are things about women that you'll probably never know unless someone tells you. We call ourselves instructors, and we have to be effective with all our students. And so if there's a way we can be more effective, then it's incumbent upon us to gain this knowledge and gain these techniques and make them available to our students. And so the job of being effective with female students is something we've been pretty poor at, not because of lack of effort. It's just we didn't know. And so Vicky is trying to spread that sunshine throughout the male training community. Here's the way you become effective with your female students. Our women can be just as effective as our men, but sometimes they get there by a little different route, and so we try to address that.
Yes, sir. And what I found most of the time, the majority of the time when we give lessons, is that the women take to it much faster than the men do.
Exactly, and for a number of reasons. Many men think they were born with the ride the horse gene, the make love gene, and the shoot the gun gene.
Some of us were.
Of course we were.
The publishing industry wouldn't be so rife with manuals on those subjects if that were true.
Now, John, tell us a little bit about what you see in your classes. These classes, you know, we can shoot up to 1,000 rounds or even more than that, 1,000
right.
rounds of pistol in a weekend, and
right.
on top of that, a few hundred rounds of rifle.
Correct.
What guns do you see that consistently run that you consider serious guns versus guns that don't, that would be more of a hobby-grade gun?
Well, you know, I use those terms. We have what are called operator-grade guns, and we have what are called hobby-grade guns. We all know that that what we call the serious use of guns represents a relatively small segment of the gun market. And manufacturers make guns for all kinds of customers for all kinds of reasons. Most of those reasons are not serious. There's recreational uses of guns, and there's God knows, lots of competitive events and shooters and scenarios out there. And it's all legitimate. I don't like to say unkind things about people who use guns for non-serious purposes, but we are strictly serious, and I try to make sure I give students good advice in this regard. With regard to pistols, the three we see by far the most, and this will come as no surprise to anyone, are Glocks, M&Ps, and XDs.
Yes, sir.
And any one of those would be a good choice. SIG is a distant fourth, although SIG makes a very good gun. But right now, hammer-fired guns have kind of fallen by the wayside, for better or for worse. Everybody seems to want a striker-fired gun, and I'm not sure there's any particular good reason for that. But I own and carry SIGs, and they run fine. But SIG is struggling now to compete with the three I mentioned. Other than that, a car We see lots of cars in courses. That's K-A-H-R. They specialize in concealment guns and do quite well, and we have a lot of people bring those as second guns, and in some cases primary guns for concealment. We talked about this just a minute ago, but our female colleagues have far greater challenges in carrying concealed on a regular basis than most men.
Yes, sir.
And car pistols appeal to many women, where bigger guns have less appeal. Bigger, fatter guns, I should say. Car guns are small and they're relatively flat, and a lot of women find them much easier to carry than the other guns I mentioned. Mm-hmm. Revolvers. You might think they fall in the category of flintlocks, but revolvers are still around and they still work fine. And many people carry, you know, five-shot snubbies as a backup, and some even as a main gun. And it has its limitations, but you can argue, you can make a persuasive argument for most anything. Beretta, once again, a distant fifth. Beretta makes, you know, the 92F, which is the M9, which is a military pistol. It's big and clunky, and it doesn't have much of an appeal to most consumers who want to carry guns concealed. But they run fine, and they now make the CX4, as you know. I'm sorry, the PX4, which is much more compact, and I've got a copy, and it runs fine. And I'm hoping Beretta really pushes that and becomes a main player, but they're not right now.
Boy, I wish they would take that safety and decocker off the slide.
Thank you. Well, they make a self-decocking version.
They have a double-action-only one.
Right, yeah. This is something else. You know, manual safeties and manual decocking levers. You're not going to give those guns away. No one wants them. The government doesn't want them. Most civilian consumers don't want them.
And why is that, John?
The reason for that is it's just something else to run. You know, if you can operate a motor vehicle, you can certainly operate a pistol. And a pistol that has a manual safety or a manual decocking lever, I can sure show you how to use it.
And, you know, John, the first class that I came to of yours, I was using a SIG P226 DASA with the decocker.
Right.
And when I had to decock every time from moving from station to station,
that got old,
I was
it?
There for about 3 hours before I decided to transition to my Glock 23.
Well, that's your epiphany there is not uncommon. When students see the choices they have, they say, why am I screwing around with this silly fool's lever? For what, you know, theoretical advantage it might give me.
The fool's lever. I think I'm going to put that in my training forum.
Consider that one
stolen. Like a Glock that does everything for me.
Yeah. So, John, what do you have people that show up to your courses with, like, Tauruses?
Not usually. These lower level pistols, I don't see too much of. As you know, I have the reputation of being a high-price vendor. My courses are expensive, and people who come to my courses sacrifice to be there, and they're dead serious. And generally, they don't bring, you know, less expensive pistols. You're probably not going to find any kind of pistol you'd want to own or carry for under $500.
You put that a lot nicer than any of us ever have, and very diplomatically. So.
It's wrong to call them boat anchors?
Well, I've got to be careful here. I don't want to make it sound as if I'm promoting a particular product.
Right.
I assure you I have no financial connection with any gun company, any bullet company. I am free to say terrible things about all of them.
Oh, trust me, we do.
None of them are perfect. But you can't help but develop preferences. And over some adult beverages some evening, I might tell you about my preferences. But that's not relevant to a class. I don't come to a class to sell students on something. There are a lot of good choices, and none of them are perfect. And when you make your choice, there'll still be things about it you don't like. But we'll overcome that and make you effective. You know, when I teach in Africa, my students there are tickled to death to have anything that shoots. And we see lots of CZs and lots of Tokarevs and Makarovs and all this Eastern European garbage, we consider garbage. But you know what? To those people, it's the best gun ever was.
You know how many phone calls we're going to get next week and later on today about my Makarov is the greatest gun in the world, and how dare you make fun of it?
So it is truly said, where you stand depends on where you sit. And here in America, we have choices, and there's no reason for you to struggle with an obvious mismatch. If you've got a mismatched gun, then you've got lots of choices. You can find something you like better. It won't be perfect, but it might be better than a less than perfect choice.
Well, you know, I subscribe to your email quips, and
yes.
I've read your book many times, Guns and Warriors.
Yes.
Just an awesome book. So people, if you're listening out there, Guns and Warriors by John Farnham is a fantastic book. You need to look it up and get it.
The quips come from defense-training.com.
Yeah. That's correct.
And
so,
the quips and quotes. They're very fun, very entertaining reading.
I know that you change your guns quite a bit when, you know, you always, there's usually an email that, well, now I'm carrying this, I was carrying that.
Yes.
Will you tell us what you're currently carrying?
Sure. Like any good prostitute, I'm not free, but I can't be had, you know, as the saying goes. I like to have personal experience with all the popular guns out there. So I will carry guns, even though I may like another gun better. I'll carry a gun for several months just to get personal experience with it. Right now, as I'm talking to you, I'm wearing a Glock 23 Gen 4. This new, Gen 4 Glock. Glock has been criticized often for not coming out with new products very often, and so this represents quite a move on Glock's part, and I think it also represents a genuine improvement. They've got a genuine 40 caliber gun now that's probably good for more than 10,000 rounds, which most of them aren't, and it's like all Glocks, it runs fine. It's not perfect, but it's a good gun, and I have no compunction about carrying it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of ammo do you have in it, John?
Right now I'm carrying Corban DPX. That is a very good defense round. It certainly isn't the only good one.
Now, is this DPX is the solid copper rounds?
Yeah, it's a homogenous all-copper round. Corban is one of my favorite manufacturers. They make a very fine product. Their quality control is unequaled in the industry. But as you know, they're pretty proud of their ammunition.
Yeah, they are. But golly, when you unpackage it, when you take it out of the box, you just look at it for a little while. I mean,
well, you hear
this beautiful
this
bullet
sound from Angels on High.
Yeah. Now, you know, most of us can't afford to shoot it in practice,
right?
But we can shoot a few to make sure it runs, and then carry it, as we for serious purposes. Mm-hmm. We have had shootings with that DPX, and it has performed wonderfully as advertised, and I have no compunction about it working well. But it is not the only good choice. There are very good choices from Federal and Winchester and Speer and Remington and others, and they're all fine companies, and they make good products.
John, I got a quip from you this morning, I believe, that it kind of made me laugh because it's something that I've been dealing with lately at the range. And it's a rash of idiots lately who keep trying to convince me that it is unsafe to carry a round in the chamber in their Glock, and that if that's going to be their carry gun, they are not going to keep a round in the chamber.
They probably also think the earth is flat. I can say what I'm sure you say to them. All these guns made by serious manufacturers, Smith & Wesson and Beretta and SIG and XD and God forbid I'd fail to mention one, are the manufacturer assumes you're going to carry it loaded. Mm-hmm. So the gun is what we call drop safe. No amount of dropping will cause the gun to discharge, despite the sewage you hear on the news reports. Mm-hmm. You know, the news people don't print the truth. They print what people say. And someone says, I dropped my gun and it went off, and they print that. It's nonsense. I've investigated hundreds of these.
They don't want to say, I shot my friend, so
they
have
to say
people
don't
want to
say, well, I had my finger on the trigger, and that's why the gun went off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they invent these stories, but it's all BS. You could have your trusty Glock in a holster and fall off a cliff and drop 1,000 feet. You'd be dead, of course, but your Glock would be fine, and it wouldn't fire.
Well, you know, we're dealing with that right now, John, is we're hearing a story coming out of Detroit where a police officer's holstered weapon allegedly discharged when a woman apparently hugged him from behind.
Utter fantasy.
Yes. Yes.
And fantasy. I'm not involved, but you know, when I testify as an expert, I often say this, you know, counselor, I'm not here to tell you what happened. I'm here to tell you what didn't happen.
Right. And that story
and what your client is claiming happened couldn't have happened.
Yeah, she was shot in the lung and in the heart by a gun that was holstered on a hip.
Yes.
Nonsense. Exactly. Absolute nonsense. Someone had the gun out of the holster and had their finger on the trigger.
Yes.
And that's why it went off. That's the only reason they ever go off. And I'm sure those facts will come out as that particular case is investigated. But we hear about this nonsense all the time. The bottom line is this. Your pistol with no round chambered is not one bit safer than if a round were chambered. But it's a great deal less useful. And when you're determined to do that, my advice to you is give your guns away and go back to eating grass. Because you're obviously not rational.
Well, on rifles, John, we talked a little bit about pistols here. If you're going to recommend somebody run out and buy a rifle, I know you can't jump on one.
But is there a platform?
Is there a platform? Are you an AK, an XCR,
you know,
a SCAR?
I like XCRs and I like FALs. I like AKs. Mm-hmm. There are too many I don't like. Mm-hmm. But
maybe a shorter list for what should we avoid.
Yeah. If you're buying a rifle for the first time, my suggestion is get an AR. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it's my favorite rifle in the world, but there's a lot of advantages. Chiefly, there are a lot of gunsmiths that can work on them. There's a lot of spare parts. They're easy to keep running. After 40 years, at least we have them running now, and most of the initial problems you read about in books like The Gun and others, those are long since been laid to rest. The gun is reliable. It runs fine. My favorite gun in the world is probably an FAL.
Yes.
Gary throws his hands up into the air like Rocky after a fight.
Well, that would be the question. Like, if you had to run out and grab a rifle right now and fight with it, and you have your safe and it's all full of rifles, which one would you grab out of all your guns?
I'd probably grab an XCR.
An XCR. Wow.
Yeah. Well, because it's a wonderful system. Alex Robinson, who is an inventor and owner of the company, is a design genius, and he has put together a fabulously superior rifle. Mm-hmm. That I like, and but it's not the only good choice. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of companies. I think at the SHOT Show in January, I stopped counting at 50 or 60, the number of companies making ARs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I scarcely a day goes by when I don't get an email from someone that says, John, I'm thinking about buying a Herfindorfer. What do you think of that? I say, what? You know, I'm supposed to know this stuff. I never heard of them. Unfortunately, right now, there is a competitive community that likes to compete with serious guns lookalikes, which are tight, temperamental target guns, are not suitable for serious purposes, but from external appearances, they look like an AR. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones you want to stay away from. You need a good utility, operator-grade rifle, and you're probably not going to have much luck below $800. There's a company called Wyndham Arms right now that's a split off from Bushmaster that's making a very acceptable AR now. I saw it in the gun shop just yesterday for $770. I don't know how they do it.
Man, that's sad. Normally I'm a horrible Bushmaster hater on air.
Yeah, because Jason turned his nose up with that one.
Well, we normally try to, you know, if I'm getting asked, and I get asked every week, you know, what to get, and I'll say Colt, Daniel Defense, BCM, you know, even PS. If I'm going to tell somebody to buy a lower, or not lower, but a more inexpensive one, I'll say PSA or Spikes before I throw them at Bushmaster or BPMS.
DSA makes a decent gun. Rock River Arms. Mm-hmm. At the top of the list is Bravo Arms, BCM. Mm-hmm. They are wonderful, but you're going to pay $1,200 for it.
I mean, if you're only going to own one gun, that's the other thing we tell people. If you're only going to buy one gun and you say it's for plinking or it's for fun or for target practice, the ultimate purpose of owning this weapon is to fight with it.
Yeah, so thank you.
Buy a gun that you could fight with if you have to.
Thank you. And all that plinking stuff has got to be secondary.
Yes.
Right.
But fortunately, we have lots of good choices. Get a good supply of Magpul magazines. And right now, if you're not hoarding ammunition, I'd be curious to know why. I think you need, several thousand rounds. Mm-hmm. I can tell you it's going to get ugly between now and November.
And prices are going to reflect that accordingly.
Yeah, I don't have any special crystal ball, but it doesn't take a genius to figure that out.
Yeah.
We may see all kinds of new restrictions proposed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that effect of that is going to be to make everyone nervous, and they're going to run out and buy a bunch of stuff and make it less available for the rest of us.
Well, panic buying drives up prices horribly.
Yeah, boy. And I tell you, I can't tell you the number of formerly non-gun people I've had as students,
mm-hmm.
even formerly anti-gun people,
yeah.
Come to me now and say, I hate to admit it, but I've been wrong. And
yeah.
God bless them.
It's very common people coming into the range now and signing up for lessons out of fear.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. But now, speaking of that, you know, we were talking about new restrictions. One of the things we're dealing with now or facing is the UN seems to be moving to curtail our rights here in the U.S. And I don't know how much you've been keeping track of that, but that's an active treaty that's being negotiated
right now.
You know,
I'm following that, but not having the benefit of law school education, I'm not sure I'm the world's expert on telling you what the real effect of this is.
Right.
I'm not sure anybody knows at this point,
but all that stuff,
as you say, generates panic buying, and it drives down availability and up prices for the rest of us.
Yep.
No doubt.
Yep.
Well, I think that UN treaty is a scary thing that we're dealing with right now, and we're getting a lot of people that are posting on our Facebook page and sending us private messages, what do I do about this?
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
And frankly, I don't know, because I don't know what it really means. If it's even enforceable, you need to talk to some constitutional, lawyer. Even then, I don't know how helpful they're going to be. Look at this last Supreme Court decision.
Well, that's the prime example is our current administration says, well, it wasn't a tax, and then the Supreme Court says, it's a tax.
How are we supposed to understand this?
Right.
Well, it's my understanding, even if the president signs a treaty, it has to be ratified by the Senate. And even if they ratify a treaty, it still can't overturn the U.S. Constitution.
Well, that's the theory of it.
That's the theory.
Yes. It hasn't
been tested before.
It doesn't matter if he signs it or not. In the end, he can't just say, I'm going to pick and choose which parts of the Constitution I like.
Well, so far he's done that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
They have a saying over the CIA. Mm-hmm. There are things that you cannot imagine, but there is nothing that may not happen.
Yeah. Unfortunately, so everybody needs to get out there while they can and get at least one quality fighting rifle, one quality fighting shotgun, and one quality fighting pistol.
Yes, and I'd say the pistol and the rifle are far more important than the shotgun.
Yeah. Yep.
And John, what are some parts if somebody's got an AR-15? What are some parts that they should have handy?
For your AR, my suggestion is have a spare bolt. You don't need a bolt carrier. The reason for this is what breaks on AR-15, what the issues with that rifle, the AR system, are number one, airborne grit. They don't tolerate grit well. This is why we have to keep that dust cover closed and keep a magazine in the weapon to keep that receiver as sealed as we can keep it. Number two, the extractor. The extractor has to fit in that multifaceted bolt, which means it's too small. The whole bolt needs to be redesigned. That probably won't happen during our lifetimes, and so we're going to have to live with it in the meantime. And we break extractors on ARs all the time. As you know, because you've been through that part of the class, we can replace extractors, but doing it in the field is a little tedious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so my suggestion is instead of having a spare extractor, just have a spare bolt. Replacing a bolt in the field is relatively easy. It can be done in less than a minute and get you back running. Replacing the extractor, as I said, is a lot more tedious. And in the field,
if you drop that little pin, you've got issues.
in a cold, muddy ditch at night in the rain, it makes a tedious project. So I like to carry a spare bolt. Aside from that, not much else breaks on them. You name a part and it's broken at one time or the other. But the biggest issue with the AR is the extractor, and that yet to be prepared to replace when you have to.
Now, John, if some of our listeners want to get into the class in Victoria, how would they go about doing that?
Go to my website, defense-training.com. Send me a note, an email, or call me, either one. And I'll get back to you, and we'll get you into class. The class is hosted by a well-known physician in the area, a good friend, and he owns the range that we use. And I don't have his number in front of me, but call me. My number is 970-482-2520. 970-482-2520. It's on my website, or send me an email note, and I will make sure that we get you in the class.
And I can't recommend this class enough. Indeed. For our listeners out there. It is an eye-opening experience. It's definitely, you're going to walk out of there with a feeling of accomplishment. Not only that, empowerment, because you're going to know how to operate your gun.
And, well, thank you. And hopefully how to number one, not shoot yourself.
Yeah.
And
I
number two,
competently operate your gun,
you know,
competently.
Be victorious. Mm-hmm. If it comes to that, I don't like the word survival. I don't use that word. I think we have to be victorious, not apologize for it. And number three, you can deal effectively with what we all laughingly call the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
At least avoid a lot of the pitfalls that are out there. And when my investigators and detectives come to investigate this, they can't help you. They can't act as your advocate. They're there to investigate and gather facts. And if you want to say something stupid and incriminating, they're not going to stop you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, what do they say? People have the right to remain silent, but not
the ability.
That they take advantage of it.
Yeah.
I can tell you this. I'm involved in a lot of shooting cases every year. Not personally, but I get involved in the litigation. Mm-hmm. As a general statement, if criminal suspects would just shut up.
Hey, don't tell them that, because that's my bread and butter, dude. If they ain't
talking.
Our conviction
rate would go down about 95%.
How many times have you watched that show, The First 48, where there'll be five cops sitting outside the room and go, man, right. We don't have enough to get a conviction. We need a confession.
Yes.
And they go in there and it's like, dude, if the guy would just shut up, he'll walk out free. And he can't shut up.
Most criminal suspects are stupid, and that's why they're there. And I don't feel sorry for them. They're idiots, and they get what they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're involved in a shooting as a good person, just doing what you have to do to keep from being hurt, you're that same criminal suspect.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know what to say and what not to say, it's going to be a difference between getting on with your life and spending the next 13 years in a penitentiary. And I can assure you the system doesn't care. You're
not
on your own,
least.
Bud. And so we have to cover this in our class. This is important. There's also the civil side, you know, and we have to talk about that too. So there's many things you need to learn other than how to run a gun, but we learn that too.
Well, you know, if there's one recommendation, one reason that I recommend John's classes to everyone is, indeed, we do a lot of shooting. But the thing is that you learn so much about avoiding the need to use the superior skill set.
Thank you.
Yep.
It's best. I think you just made him very happy with that.
A fight avoided is better than a fight won.
By far.
By many times over. And when you're contemplating carrying a gun, as you say, it's going to involve a reevaluation of your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
You may have to stop going places that you're used to going. You may have to stop associating with certain individuals because it's in your best interest. Getting involved in a shooting is going to be, number one, very expensive, and number two, as I say, very frightening when you have to deal
even
with
if you're in the right,
system.
You're still going to go take the ride.
Yep.
And
so,
that's a bad thing.
When you... heretofore associated with stupid people, went to stupid places, and did stupid things.
Sounds familiar, Gary.
Yeah. I'm going to make your life extremely dull because I'm going to say, you know, now that you carry a gun, you can't do that. You can't go to those places. You can't associate with those people. It's just not in your best interest.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Not to mention wardrobe changes and lifestyle choices.
Thank you.
Well, and to that end, you know, it's this is something that came up in a concealed handgun class I taught yesterday, but we've dealt with this controversy before. But I'd like to hear your thoughts, John, on the question of concealed carry versus open carry for the private citizen.
Right now, open carry is one of these hot political issues that gets the attention of people who like political issues.
We're not huge fans of open carry.
For the other 99% of us who just want to get through our day, open carry is not an option. It's just silly.
Yep.
Until the day comes when everybody's carrying openly and it doesn't create any undue attention,
right. Mm-hmm.
Then it's not an option. If you want to carry, you're going to have to carry concealed, and just get over that. If you want to be a test case, God bless you. But you know,
most of the people who want it that you see on TV are the ones that are thumping their chest. Look at me, I'm cool, I'm Rambo. Yeah. Look at my big gun. It's like, dude.
Or you know, I've got some hot lawyer that's going to do stuff. Well,
you're just making
yourself
the first target to get attacked or shot, or to have somebody come up and clock you over the head with a bottle.
I mean, I had that issue with my student yesterday. He believes that it is a deterrent, and what I can't get
a
lot
deterrent.
Of people. Well, that's the thing. I can't get a lot of people to understand is that they are projecting their belief system, their understanding of a system of laws on these criminals, and they don't have that same set of values.
The criminal that doesn't have a gun now is going to go, see that fool over in the corner? When he turns around to bend over and pick something up, or he's carrying his lunch tray over there, we're going to go jack him and take his gun.
And I think there's, you know, that and a lot of other reasons certainly, you know, argue against, you know, concealed or open carry. So, you know, like you, I chose my parents very poorly. I'm not sitting here on a pile of cash trying to think of ways to spend it. If I were, then open carry might appeal to me because I was bored. But I've got to make a living, and I've got to persuade people to write me checks, which means I have a lot to do with my life other than talk with the police and talk with lawyers.
Yep.
John, what's more important to you? This is something we were talking about earlier with our listeners. With the XDS coming out, you know, the 5+1 45, is it more important to you to have a bigger bullet or more ammunition?
You know what? I think at this point, the more ammunition argument far outweighs the bigger bullet argument. we have high-performance ammunition now in 9mm and 40 and a 357 SIG, which makes those calibers... I'll put it this way, which makes the argument over which caliber I should choose more and more irrelevant. They are we all those calibers can work fine, and frankly, I like lots of bullets.
And there's nothing wrong with a 45. It's just you can get more shots.
Nothing wrong, but quite frankly, I'm not comfortable carrying a shooter around anymore.
Right.
Yeah. I want a 14 shooter so that I can get through this gunfight and reload afterward instead of during the fight. You know, we have many cases where it involves more than one threat, where I have to go from one threat to another, and I want a reserve of ammunition that's going to get me through this thing, and when it's all over, then I can reload. I don't have to reload halfway through it because I'm out of, you know, slide locking out of bullets.
So you're not a fan of the five-shot 380 ACP?
Sure I am. I think for, you know, as a backup gun, and for some situations, that might be the best you can do. What I'm saying is that you have to realize what you have. You have to make a decision based on the best information you have. Any gun you want to name has a following, and probably you can argue for it. For myself personally, I like carrying around a 14 shooter. That works for me. It may not work for everybody else.
John, what do you say to the people who say that they don't need to get a concealed carry license because they can just call the police?
Well,
they're optimists.
Hard for me to tell people what to do. if the public knew how thinly spread we are, I'm a deputy sheriff here in Park County in Colorado. If the public knew how thin we're spread, they would probably be. We'd probably sell more guns than we do already. you know, we do the best job we can. And with the resource we have, we'll get there as fast as we can, and we'll do the best job we can. But we still have to recruit from the human race. We hire people who probably shouldn't have been hired.
Hey.
We have a high turnover in this business. So, as you've heard me say in class, when you call the police at 3 in the morning, who's going to respond? Old cops or young cops? I can assure you all us old guys don't work at night anymore.
John, you've been a great guest, and we really enjoyed having you on the show. And we hope that it's not the last time that we have you on.
Anytime, bud.
And we look forward to coming out to your class in October. I missed the last few of them because of the show. But
well,
I will.
You chose your parents poorly like I did.
I will be there in October. Can you give us the phone number one more time if any listeners are interested in getting some more information on your courses?
You can call me anytime at 970-482-2520. 970-482-2520.
That's great.
And that'll get me directly, and I'll be happy to give you whatever you need.
That's great. And, John, we really appreciate it. And I also implore any of our listeners to go to defense-training.com and order Guns and Warriors. It's one of the best reads that you'll have, man. My copy has been sitting next to my throne for the last 3 years, and it's just reread over and over and over again.
Well, I'm glad I found a good place in your home.
It's not my autographed copy. That copy is on the coffee table. Thank you, John. We appreciate you having you on, and we look forward to seeing you again.
You bet. Take care, bud.
All right, Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back for the last 10 minutes or so of Guns Over Texas.
Dave Ramsey, Monday afternoon at 2, here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Do you have your concealed handgun license yet? If not, take your CHL class from a professional instructor at the Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range. Not one of these instructors that doesn't know which end of the gun goes bang. Shiloh instructors are professionally trained, knowledgeable, and friendly. Mention KSEV when you register by phone and get the one-time special price of just $99. Call the Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range at 281-444-8930. Come beat the heat with our new cold AC and improved ventilation units. Ladies-only concealed handgun classes are available also. Taught by Houston's best female instructor, Tracy Sanford. Classes for women, by women. The Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range is located at 12703 Shiloh Church Road, just south of 1960, just east of the Willowbrook Mall. Call us at 281-444-8930. You've got a gun. You know how to shoot. Get your CHL now. Register for the next class at 281-444-8930.
If you're in the market to buy furniture and you want the lowest price, the fastest delivery, and the best deferred interest program, come out to Gallery Furniture for our three-point promise. Number one, Gallery Furniture has been the low-price furniture leader in Houston for over 30 years, and we are today. Number two, Gallery Furniture delivers your furniture the same day you buy it. Buy it anytime at 10 o'clock tonight, Gallery delivers tonight. And number three, Gallery Furniture meets or beats any deferred interest program. Buy your furniture today. Lowest price, great deferred interest plans. Gallery delivers tonight.
It's Dewhurst versus Cruz. The runoff race the whole country is watching. Debate number two, Tuesday night, July 17th, 8 o'clock. KSEV takes you to Dallas for the second debate between Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst and Texas Solicitor General Ted Cruz. Download the KSEV app and listen anywhere on your smartphone. Hear the audio stream at KSEVradio.com. Listen in your car on AM 700. Dewhurst versus Cruz on AM 700 KSEV.
Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. We've got our last 10 minutes or so of the show, so if you have any questions or comments or any questions, especially about John Farnham's rifle or urban rifle and defensive handgun course coming up in Victoria, you can give us a call at 281-558-5738, and that's 281-558-5738, and we'll see what we can do about answering your questions.
You know, there's probably a lot of people who don't necessarily know that name, and that some of that is because we've got a lot of younger guys who are the Chris Costa and Rob Pincus, you know, fanboy type folks.
Farnham is from the Jeff Cooper school.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He's one of the old school, really did write the book, mm-hmm. gunfighters.
You know, I was nervous when we first got him on the line because I hadn't talked. I haven't seen him in a couple years.
Yeah.
And it's the equivalent of, say, a minor league baseball player getting to interview Babe Ruth.
Right. Exactly. I mean, if you can, and for a lot of you, if you've never, I mean, that's the magnitude of the guest that we just had. He's not a flashy guy. He's very much, teaches an option reduction method. So it's just these very key, not necessarily fancy methods of dealing with things, and a very low-key lifestyle. And you know, we were talking about that with the don't go stupid places with stupid people doing stupid things. But, you know, also a low-key lifestyle so that you don't stand out, being the guy in the gray suit. Mm-hmm. And for some of us, we'll either make that choice or not, and it's easier for some folks than others. But all of that goes to ultimately, and you'll hear this a lot in his classes, of deselection, failing the interview, as it were, of being selected as a victim.
If you look like sheep, you're going to attract wolves.
Yes, exactly.
And the first time I actually met him, we walked into the meeting room at the Holiday Inn or the Marriott or wherever it was that we were staying in Victoria. And I'm looking around the room and I look at this old guy and thinking, look at this old guy in his big fishing vest, you know. Yeah. Is this guy going to shoot with us, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it was, and then he steps up and starts talking.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I, oh, man, you know, really pulled that pucker string on me really, uh-huh. really hard. And, man, getting out on the range with that guy is just phenomenal, mm-hmm. you know. He's carrying he only mentioned one gun that he was carrying.
Well, I'll give you a quote that I once heard.
Primary carry
yes,
gun.
But I'll give you a quote that I once heard from John. And he said, no matter which way I hit the ground, my wife can always pull a gun off of me.
So, it'll be an excellent opportunity for people to get out there. And what do we always say? You don't know what you don't know.
Until you're
going to get out there and you're going to find out, oh, this holster stinks, or oh, this decocker is worthless, or oh, I only carry one mag. I need a lot more mags.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you're never going to know until you're pushed. And most people won't go to the range and push themselves.
Right.
You go to a class, you're shooting in front of 20 other people, and you've got an instructor there, not necessarily drill sergeanting you, but mm-hmm. he's trying to get you to see the choices you made. We're going to put you in a fight situation. How did those choices work
right.
for you?
Right.
And you might scratch your head at the end of the day like you did at lunch on the first day and go, wow, this
yeah.
thing is not quite for me.
Well, you know, and actually we today's quip from him is you mentioned that earlier. We did post that on our Facebook page. But he mentions a young Marine who came to train with him. And, you know, this guy is, quote-unquote, an operator, you know, probably recon or something like that. But it happened that he was somebody who wasn't in the habit of carrying a gun, you know, when
was
he was
using a borrowed gun.
Yeah, you know, showed up using a borrowed gun and, you know, didn't the whole concept of carrying a gun, living with a gun, the armed lifestyle mm-hmm. was alien to him.
Carrying a gun yeah. with one in the chamber.
Yeah, you know, and how many times have we faced that question as instructors here in town? You know, when you have someone who says, okay, I want to buy a gun and I want to carry a gun. Okay, great. You know, here's why, you know, here's how we carry. Here's what we recommend. Well, why in the world would I do that? And the thing that I come across most is people seeking the quote unquote safest gun they can get. You know, so it's got every possible safety lever and you got to put in a combination to turn it on.
If you just put it in the holster, it's
then
perfectly
you're fine.
Safe. Unless somebody hugs you from behind at a party, in which case they spontaneously discharge.
Well, you know, we heard the new detail about that today, about apparently this guy was there dancing with his wife.
Uh-huh. And then this woman, who he did not know,
yes.
came up behind him and started dancing provocatively
right.
at him. And the gun just went off.
Which now makes it sound like, you know, it's entirely possible his wife got tired of her dancing back there and said, I'll fix
it.
Well,
the chief has come out and defended this guy. And the chief said it's a, well, it was a real floppy holster. It was so basically your guy didn't follow policy by buying a quality holster that you issued him?
Exactly. Well, it's Detroit. And they don't.
But
and they carry Smith & Wesson M&Ps, which we know is not a gun that's just going to miraculously go bang.
Right. They don't?
That's why you shouldn't have one in the chamber.
Yeah. Oh, touche.
Let's head out to Spring real quick. Ken in Spring, welcome to Guns Over Texas.
How do again?
Great.
Yes, sir.
Hey, question. I was looking on the computer thing, and it looks like his classes are at the middle of October. It has both the initial handgun and then the advanced and rifle running the same weekend.
Right.
Now you got to do the beginner before you move on to the next one.
If you consider yourself to be advanced, he will let you start off in the advanced class.
Right.
But if you prove to everyone that your ego is advanced but your skill is not, then you're going
to
head back over to the intermediate.
That sounds like a perfect chance to embarrass oneself.
Yes.
If you don't embarrass yourself, you don't learn.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But what I want to know is just to clear out all the you know, what ifs and all, y'all do a course. How does that compare to his? And since y'all did his stuff, would he consider that as quantifying for his beginner?
Well, the majority of everything that I personally teach comes from John. My methods, my belief system have all been molded through training with John. And now there's I do use other instructors' methods, but everything that I do is based on what John teaches. So to answer your question, yes, it would be a great class to take more than once, because we're talking about one class that's an hour and a half to 2 hours long, versus going to Victoria, Texas, starting at 7 o'clock in the morning
and
finishing at 11 o'clock at night, and then back on the range at 7 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night the next day.
High round count, putting your gun through the gun,
a lot more repetition. Yeah.
You'll know if your gun works by the end of it.
Where we might shoot 50 to 100 rounds in the 2 hour class at Shiloh, you're going to shoot between 700 and 1,300 rounds of pistol at the course in Victoria
per day.
Okay, so it would not be the first time I went there. We went through like 1,000 rounds just on Saturday,
right?
And then we still had another 11 hours on Sunday, and so then you throw in another 200 or 300 rounds of rifle, and you're getting some serious trigger time in. So coming to one class, sure, that's a great start. But if you want to start off on the advanced side, I would definitely recommend doing it more than once.
Sounds to me like you need to get busy buying up a bunch of property around your little range there so you can do an outdoor deal and get it going on really cool.
That would be
and work more
awesome.
Hours too.
That would
while
be
you're
ideal.
You're not doing anything, right?
That would be ideal.
Yeah.
But maybe we can get out to the impact zone sometime and hold a class out there.
Yeah, maybe.
That would be cool.
Yep. So, Ken, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you calling. We look forward to having you out at the range. And thanks for listening, and thanks for your contributions. Houston, that is another 2 hours of Guns Over Texas down. If you have any questions about the Farnham class, you can get us on Guns Over Texas Radio on Facebook, or you can email me directly at jeff@gunsovertexasradio.com. If you don't have your concealed handgun license yet, now is the time to get it. You get it at Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range. Give them a call at 281-444-8930. Houston, shoot straight.